We'll just leave it there. I guess it can work down there too if I stomp around, right? If I could tell you this morning that God would open up the windows of heaven and bless you, and if I could tell you this morning that if you would only be obedient to Him and follow Him, that He would keep you from the wails of the devil, would you want that? Well, I'm going to share with you this morning from the book of Malachi here in a minute, but that's exactly what it tells us here, only I'm going to share with you a little bit differently. You know, I'm going to tell you, first of all, that God laid this on me, and it had to come today, and it's going to come today, because I think we have a world around us that thinks, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? I know I've run into that over and over. What's in it for me? And God has a lot in it for you. We just got to understand it. You know, if we get right down to where this whole country is, it's what's in it for me. And I like to tell them, there's a lot in it for them. This morning I want to share with you, after I read this scripture in a minute, I'm going to share with you that, well, I'm going to read the scripture now. In Malachi chapter 3, I'll read the scripture to start with. If you don't know where Malachi is, and if you'd like to look at it in your Bible, in your translation, you go to the New Testament, Matthew, and turn left, one book. Malachi chapter 3. And I'm going to begin to read in verse 7. Actually, I'm going back to verse 6. He says, "For I am the Lord God, I do not change." So this morning there's some of us that think, well, whenever the book turned from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that we went from legalism to grace, some of us think that some other rules changed. But God says, right off the bat, I don't change. I'm the same, He told us in the New Testament too. I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I don't change. He says, "Therefore, you are not consumed of the sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them." He says, "Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall I return? Will a man rob God?" He says, "Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. Listen, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delighted land, says the Lord of hosts." You say, oh, it's going to be a message on tithing, and that might turn you off right away. I'm not asking for money this morning. I'm not asking for money for this church. I'm not asking for anything except I want you to understand this word tithing and what God is saying. Many moons ago now, whenever I was saved, and I married this cute little Baptist of many years and started going to church, and she comes to me and says, Paul, we need to start tithing. I said, we what? We need to tithe, Paul. I says, you've got to be out of your mind. There's no way. There's no way with all the debt load that I've got and all the things that I've got to accomplish, there's no way that I can tithe. In my little financial mind, which I was a financial guy at that time, we started running that through the calculator and it comes back, no, you can't do that. I went back to her and I says, you know, I don't think that we can do this, Paul. We both have got to tithe. I said, my goodness, what kind of a buzzsaw am I into? She's really serious about this. So in my little pea spiritual mind at that point, I started to seek. This is the verse that I got. And I started to see some things, and this morning I want to answer the question. Because there's a lot of untruths. There's a lot of untruths about tithing. And I want to talk to you about those things. My wife said to me, you can't outgive the Lord, and I still questioned it, so I went to my pastor. And I asked my pastor about it. That was the wrong thing to do because he hit me on it the next day, or the next week too, because he preached on it. The conviction, right, it was good. You're right, it was good. And the conviction come upon me to the point that now it's just not me and my wife and the pastor, it's now me and the Lord, and we're fighting it out. And I say fighting it out, it was a revelation. The revelation came, and but yet I went back and I tried to manipulate Paula. I said, let's just maybe give half, you know, let's kind of ease into this. You're right. She says, no, Paul, it's got to be all. I says, wow. And I studied more, this particular scripture along with a lot of others. And it comes back. There's no way that we can escape this. But the great thing about it is the promises that comes to us through this scripture. The promises are so phenomenal. The promises are there so phenomenal. And that's what I want to share today. There are so many untruths that float around in churches and in people's minds. I say them, they're myths about this thing called tithing. Please bear with me. Don't set up the barrier this morning. Well, he's talking about money, and I'm telling you, I will deny it to my grave if you say this morning, I'm going to preach on money. I am not preaching on money. I'm preaching on the untruths of tithing. And there's a lot of them, and we've got to understand them. And that's where I'm going this morning. God commands us. God commands us after we are saved that we need to be baptized. To show forth openly and honestly what's happened inside of our hearts. But here, in this word, God also commands us to tithe. He says, bring ye all the tithe unto the storehouse. That's imperative. That's imperative. He doesn't say bring if you want to, or bring if it feels good, or bring if you agree with me. He says imperatively, bring it. God says, bring it. It's a command. It's not one of them things where you can check the box, yes, I will, or no, I won't. God says, this is what I expect. And I want to tell you, folks, that I don't think we can ignore it. God begins and makes it clear that we begin with the tenth. And that tenth means tithe, and God makes it very plain, I think from the very beginning, that it's a tenth part. It matters not to me again this morning. The only thing that matters to me is that you have an understanding of what's not true and what is true. The question that I'm going to have to ask you, think about this as we continue through this. What's in it for me? That's what the world wants to know. That's what perhaps you want to know. What's in it for me? And you could ask that question honestly, because we do in our minds anyway. Let's understand something. God owns everything. And if you're saved this morning, let's face the fact that He owns you. You cannot deny that. God says, I own you. I own everything about you. I own all the money. I have control of everything. I own 100%, and all I require of you is to put back to me, prove that you are faithful, prove that you are obedient, give me back the 10%. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't need your 10%. He wants you to show your faithfulness to Him. That's what He's after. The number two thing that I hear constantly is, well, wait a minute, this tithe thing, listen, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And so consequently, what was said in the Old Testament doesn't apply to the New Testament. I've already told you where I showed you. God doesn't change. As a matter of fact, when I was studying a long time ago and had this revealed to me, the tithe was reflected in the Word of God even before the legalistic system, or before the Ten Commandments were given, or before the Pharisees began to interpret those things. I want to share with you, it comes out of Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14, and we're talking about here when Abraham had been out in a battle, and he come back from the battle, and he had spoils of the battle. And he was returning from the battle, and Abraham paid a tithe for all the spoils from the battle to Melchizedek. In Genesis 14, it says, then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out the bread and the wine. He was the priest of the God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be God Most High, for he delivered your enemies unto your hand. And it says, and he gave him a tithe of all. We read that, we see before the law was even given, the tithe was present. The tithe continued. After the commandments was given, you go into Leviticus, you go into Numbers. The tithe, it tells us there, is holy unto God. Holy means to be set apart. Holy means to don't put your hands on it because it belongs to God. The tithe is something to be set aside for God's use to grow His kingdom. So the tithe was present before the legalistic system. It was present during the time of the Old Testament when the legal system was being processed by those scribes and Pharisees and everyone else. But there's another quote in the Bible that I want to show you coming out of Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, when Jesus is actually commending the Pharisees for tithing. Let me read it to you. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of the mint and the anise and the cumin, but you've neglected the weightier things of the law, justice and mercy and faith. He says, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He says, you pay the tithe of even the mint and the anise and cumin. You pay even the tithe of those little herbs, but you're paying on the smallest of things. He says, but praise God, you're paying the tithe at least on something. I guess that's what he was saying. Jesus commended the Pharisees for paying the tithe, and we're talking now, we're in New Testament time. So if I can bring you before the law, during the law in the Old Testament, and even after Jesus was here and we was in a new dispensation of grace, tithing was necessary. I want to give you another untruth or a myth about tithing. And I'll grant you, I understand. I've already committed to you and told you that I had a difficult time getting started, but that didn't stop me. I understand that it's difficult, and some of us can say, I just can't afford the tithing. But maybe I should say it this way this morning. I had to learn. I had to learn that I could not afford not to tithe. And I want to share that with you. I know the devil makes us think that we can't afford it. And maybe we'll do it, we say, when we can't afford it, but not now. And we have the devil trying to sell us down that we don't need to do so. The truth of the matter is, you cannot afford not to tithe. And the reason you give God sometimes is wrong. Because whenever we give the tithe, we've now committed ourselves unto God, and we say we believe you. You're not going to ignore me. Lord, you said that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out that blessing unto me. So, Lord, we're in this together. Think about that. And here's what I can assure you this morning. I can assure you that you will have more to do something with the 90% that you have left when you tithe than you would with 100% and not tithing. I can assure you that. And I could go on and give you personal testimony of my own personal life. Some difficult times, yes, that I went through. Some very difficult times that I've went through in my life. And I still go through them, but you know, the one thing I have is God always takes care of me. When I give and God is calling me to give and I give, God still takes care of me. And He returns the blessing to me because I'm obedient. Listen, he asked a question, will a man rob God? But let me share with you what happens. And those of you that are being obedient now, praise God. But here's what happens. He will restore your prayer life. You know, sometimes whenever we think we don't have, and we start praying, oh God, bless me because I've got this bill to pay and I don't know where it's going to come from. You know, whenever you give away that other 10%, it might look like you really don't. And it leads you right back to your prayer life where you're really getting it on your knees more. And he begins to restore the power unto you, and he removes the barriers in your life to make the right decisions. And you start to look to him for those decisions, and you start to look, where is it that I need to please you, Lord? Do I really need to purchase this thing, or can I do without it? What is it that's the priority with you, Lord? And you begin to partner with him, and as you partner with him, great things happen. He'll release his power. I just read it to you. He said, test me. Try me. And it's the only time that I can say in the Bible where God says, prove me. Let me show to you whether you can really trust me. Go ahead. Prove me. Just try it. God says that. Prove and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour blessings upon you. Now, the first thing we think about when we think about pouring out blessings, we think, well, then God's going to send me a check next week for $20,000 to pay my debt. I didn't say that. Sometimes people think of financial reasons when we think of spiritual blessings. But there's a lot more blessings than financial, folks. He made a promise. I want to go back to it. He says in Matthew, or in Malachi, he says, see that I won't open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will be not room enough. But then he says in verse 11, and so much, so important to us, that we have difficulties in our families, we have difficulties with our friends, we have difficulties in everywhere that we go with, in work, in a lot of different places, we have difficulties. And Satan is coming at us every day of the day, every hour of every day. But listen to God's promise here, please. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes.
so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. We have a God. When we are obedient, understand we have marital problems, understand we have child-raising difficulties many times. We have the devourer that comes at us and causes us to have financial problems. I understand that. But we all have to understand that. The devourer is after you all the time. You're a Christian. You are a saved child of God. And because you are a saved child of God, He wants to pull you back into the muck and mire that He pulled you up out of. God pulled you up out of. And Satan wants to take you back. And he comes at us in any way that he can to try to devour us. But God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Am I talking about money here? I'm not talking about money at all. We're talking about a promise of God. Not my promise. Right there. That's why I can say this morning to you, you cannot afford not to tithe. It's a fallacy. It's a myth that a lot of people want to live their lives with. And that's up to them. But it's my job to reveal it. There's a sacred land. There's a sacredness of having that kind of a relationship with God when we're in tune. The last myth, another myth that I want to share with you this morning, and it's an untruth, is the tithe is all God expects. I want to share with you in the Old Testament, there was the meal offerings, there was the grain offerings, there was all kinds of offerings. And today we have offerings above the tithe that we do in the church. We do the Ray Roberts, which supports Seneca Lake, so your kids can go down there and get a, or take some unsaved people down there, some unsaved kids down there, where they can get, they can have a great week where there's good revelations given to them that they wouldn't get it another way. We have the Annie Armstrong offering, which is strictly for state missions, state mission development, and we also have the Lottie Moon, which is for foreign mission development. Those are extra offerings that we do and set. But you see, the offering comes above the tithe. Somehow we want to compute that. The first tenth belongs to God. That's what he said. Not me. That's what he said. The first tenth belongs to God. The offerings are above that. You say, my goodness, I can't even do the tithe. Once you do, you'll be able to offer too. Make offerings too. Check him out. You know, in the temple that day, it says to bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. And that day in the storehouse, well, they had all kinds of agricultural products and sheep and goats and bulls and pigeons and all kinds of things. And they had kind of a storehouse there. They had to store all these things in so that they could share them with the people that was in need. Today, the storehouse, when he says bring it to the storehouse, he's talking about the local church treasury. Last year, you may not know this because we don't make a big deal out of it, but I'm going to share with you that 4% of everything that goes into that offering plate, we put aside in a fund. And the deacons determine where there's needs, whether it be in the church or outside the church in the community, where we can help, we help whenever we can determine that it's an absolute need. That's what the church is supposed to do, is those kinds of things. But it goes beyond that. Whenever the till is filled, it's what teaches people the Word of God. It's where we have groups of people that are winning people to the Christ, and it trains people to give, and we use it for discipling. It's other ministries. You see, the tithe needs to come to the church. There's a lot of people that give to Franklin Graham, and there's nothing wrong with that, but not the tithe. The tithe comes to the church. The tithe supports the local activity of the church. And that's what we were supposed to do, scripturally. Because I can tell you this, John Hagee's not going to come and go see your sick ones in the hospital. He's not going to come and preach your friend's funeral or someone else's funeral or see you on a sick bed. But it's going to be someone in a local church that steps up beside you and alongside you to help, and it's all possible through the tithe. You know, Paul made a play on this word tithe in 1 Corinthians 16:2 that I want to clear it up. This happens to be a scripture that's used on me a lot to try to support and say, well, it's not true. Because Paul made this statement. He said, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as God hath prospered you. A lot of people say, well, that doesn't say anything about a tenth. No, that's right. But he makes reference to the store. Into the storehouse. Bring unto the storehouse. As it says in the Old Testament, the same thing. Last one, and here's where we get into it. I want to get right down to what I said to start with. There's a lot of myths today that goes out. Well, I shouldn't be talking about being blessed with God. God will bless me and I don't need to talk about that. I don't need to look forward to being blessed of God. What is God saying here in this scripture? That's the myth as I'm talking about. It's okay to expect that whenever I'm obedient to God and I'm doing what God has called me to do, it's kind of okay to expect it. And why am I saying that? I want to share with you. We answer this question, what's in it for me here? It says, God, and I've said this already, God says, try me in this. And I told you this was the only place in the Bible where God says, go ahead and try me. Prove me. See if I won't do what I said that I would do. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there won't be room enough for you to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sake. God says, this is a reward I have for you. Show me that you're obedient. Go ahead and prove it. Prove me. Try me. God says, Jesus said, to be great in the kingdom of God is to be a servant of all. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken down, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Throughout the scriptures, if you go into the 1 Corinthians 15 and you make a study there, Jesus, or actually the Apostle Paul is talking about how that grain of wheat has first of all got to be given and it dies in the ground so that it can bring forth much more. And that's what happens to all of us. It's when we are obedient and this principle that we're talking about, the myths are removed and we understand the reality of this. Once we understand the reality of it, how can we not? The Apostle Paul, he wrote back to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 19. He was in jail. He was in a dungeon. And he wrote back to the church at Philippi and he says, thank you for writing me. Thank you for sending me the gift while I was in prison. He said, you are the only church that remembered that I was in a deep, dark hole. And out of all the riches out of all the churches that I served, none of the churches I won to Christ. All of those people I preached to, everyone else forgot me. But he says, I was down in that deep, deep, dark hole in Rome, and you remembered me and sent me a gift. And I will tell you what is going to happen. My God will supply all your need according to his riches by the glory of Christ Jesus. My objective this morning was first of all, and God laid this on me. I said, wait, God. God says, now. And I said, God, can I do it another Sunday? God says, now. You got it. But I want to go further. The first thing that has to happen in our lives
is to understand what Jesus really, really did for us. Before you can become obedient, you have to understand what God really, through Jesus Christ, His Son, did for us. They lied about Him too. And they spit upon Him, they abused Him, they beat Him in the face, they crowned Him with a crown of thorns, they beat His back with the cat of nine tails. You could hardly recognize His face. They nailed Him to the cross. He hung on that cross for 6 hours. And the world grew dark and the thunder rolled. And the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the outer court was split in two, so that it gave us direct access to God. And all of your sin and mine was placed upon Jesus Christ, who came to this earth not because He had to, but because He wanted to, and God placed Him in this position, that He would die and take upon you all of your sins and all of my sins and die for them, be buried. But on the third day, praise the Lord, He arose from the grave and gives you and I the victory, that if we will only believe with all of our heart and confess with our mouth who Jesus Christ is, we can be saved. And that's my purpose this morning, is to proclaim that. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. There's not a greater message that anyone could deliver, or you could deliver to someone else, than the message that they can be saved. But the next greatest thing that can happen to you is, once you are saved, is to be obedient to that so God can bless you. And that's what we was trying to share this morning. God wants in your life, God wants all of you, and He wants you to become obedient to Him. God wants you to accept Jesus as your Savior. And Christians, then He wants you to be obedient. And He says, go ahead and try me. Prove me. The only place in the Bible He says that I can find. But this morning, God says, if you're not saved, come. I want you to know me personally as Lord and Savior. And Christian, if you're holding back, I hope these myths that we have related will help you to make decisions that God is calling us to. Could we stand and pray together? Father, we have nothing but praise and admiration for You. We thank You for the realness of Your Word. And God, now that it's there, it's laid out before many people, draw them, Lord, closer to You, into obedience. If it's the salvation, and someone willing to lay down and say, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. And I need a Savior. If they'll only come this morning and we can share with them, Lord, bring them. Convict them to come, that we can, again, share Your Word and we can pray with them and they can receive You as Savior and Lord. And it's my desire, Lord, it was Yours first, and You laid it upon me to deliver this particular message, but I pray that it won't go and fall upon deaf ears. But there will be an understanding of what really has to happen and how important it is to every one of us to be obedient to Your call, to give back to You what You have called us to give back, that tithe. We thank You for this message. And now the invitational time is Yours, Lord. Again, as we come to You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's going to be music playing. There's not going to be any singing. It's for you to think, pray, and maybe come that I can pray with you to receive Christ as your Savior and Lord. Maybe it's a time where you just need to come and lay down some things to God and let them there and not carry them out of here. Now might be that time for you to come, and I encourage you. Ron's going to close this, but I wasn't interrupting his prayer. Would you also, I guess it'd be a good time that you might ask the blessings upon the food that we're about to partake of.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day and the message that we heard here today. And I just ask that you would grant us the faith that we need to be able to bring ourselves to tithe and bring the offerings into your storehouse. I just pray that you would help us to use what it is that we give to just advance your kingdom. As we go from in here over to the fellowship hall, I just ask that you would bless the food to our bodies, and I just thank you for it. Help us to each have a good time of fellowship, and just lead us and guide us in all that we do. All this I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.